Now, I just want to read one verse, and that's the well-known verse in John 14 and verse number 6. And here the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and as a result of a question we may think about later, he just says these words, "Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's just that first expression that I'm thinking of today, the Lord Jesus, the way. I just use those two words in the title because it's quite an interesting statement, the way. It indicates that one exists, but at the same time it indicates that only one exists, the way. Excuse me. I suppose the question that we have to ask before we can consider this is, where are you wanting to go? that's the big thing. The Lord is talking about a particular way to a particular place. But I want to let each one of us think today, where do I want to be? Where do I want to go? Both in the path of life and in the eternity, the way. We have to have that determined before we can begin to find the answer to this. In the Bible, for ultimate destinations, we have heaven and hell. We have a way that leads to life and a way that leads to destruction. So there are many ways of describing the end point. I suppose we sometimes sing there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. So in a more general sense, we're trying to find a way back to God. And we'll have to see that that is necessary. It's something that we lack if we're not saved, if we haven't come to know the Lord Jesus. We don't yet have a way to God. And so that's what I'm trying to do. The way. You know, I took my GPS the other day and I put in an address for a place that we lived in for a little while in the UK, Zetland Road, Chalton-cum-Hardy, Manchester. I put that in and it was able to show me that destination. It was able to point out the very street, but it simply came up on the screen, can't find a way there. Interesting, isn't it? Can't find a way there. Wouldn't it be sad if that were true regarding our quest for finding the way back to God? Can't find a way there. You know, you'll never find a way there outside the scriptures. There are many things, and we'll speak about that, many things that people think. And the verse has been quoted already, a way that seems right, but surely there's a way back to God. I put in some of our more local destinations, and I came up with two or more ways. Sometimes the way was more costly than another. All sorts of things came up, and there were blue ones and there were grey ones and times. We want to say today that when it's a quest for getting back to God, God determines the way. And that's what we're going to look for as we discuss this thought of the way. Now, early in the history of mankind and of the Bible, we find two brothers who were looking for this. They were wanting to make that contact, we might say, with God. And of course, in their minds, they knew that in a previous generation, that had been possible. But disobedience came in and really destroyed that. And I suppose now they're thinking, well, how then can we communicate with God? Their parents used to before sin came in. But sin has come in. And I want to mention that here because that's why we're looking for a way back to God. We have been estranged from God by our sin. We've been put at a distance from God, and we need to find a way to get back to God and a way to be sure of being in his presence eternally. And so We're not looking for a variety of ways. We're looking for the one way. So what did these two brothers do? Well, they decided to approach God with the very best that they had. One of them had crops, and he brought the best of it, I'm sure, and presented it before God. The other had a little lamb, which he brought and presented before God. Now, both of these men had brought the very best. They both had a desire to communicate with God. They both came with their offering to God. But when we consider what happened, it says that God was happy with the lamb, but he didn't accept the crops. And you might say, well, weren't they both the best they had? Yes, they were. But there's one vital difference. And perhaps these men should have known that. God had said to Adam in the beginning, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And death had come in because of sin. And it should have been clear to them, perhaps, that death needed to come in order to make an approach to God. There had to be a recognition of sin and a death brought in to recognize that and to meet that need. Only the death of a substitute could meet God's demands, even though with the lamb it was a temporary thing. But that's something to understand right at the beginning. If we're going to find the way to God, it will involve the death of a substitute, of an appropriate substitute. And those brothers, as they made their approach, they learned that, and we learned that lesson right at the beginning of the scriptures. So if you and I want to find the way to God, it must involve death. It must involve the death of someone who can take our place. Let's come a little further in the scriptures to the verse that was quoted from Proverbs. And interestingly, it occurs twice in Proverbs, so we need to listen to it. And it says this: there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Notice it says a way. There is a way. Really, if we were to canvass the people of this world and ask them what they thought was a way back to God, if they believed in God at all, there would be a variety of thoughts. There is a way. And it may seem right. When you put it all down and you think about, look, I'm going to really put my best into life. I'm going to work really hard to follow the whatever the scriptures tell us about our lives and all that sort of thing. I'm going to do my very best. That seems right. It may look right, but is it right? Maybe you have decided that by joining some church or by supporting some charity, you're gaining favor with God. And it may seem right, but the question we must keep asking, is it right? Cain thought his crops seemed right, but they weren't. Money, good works, church, all those things, good though they may be, it's not God's way to come back to God. We want to find out what is God's way to return to him. So if we come into the New Testament, we are introduced to a person who's going to be the answer to this, and that's the Lord Jesus. Before he was born, it says, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What an amazing thing. There is a perfect man coming into the world. There is someone who throughout his life here showed very definitely that he'd come from God and he was absolutely spotless and sinless. As he asks this question and speaks to his disciples, he's about to do what he came to do, that is die on a cross. That thing that was established right at the beginning of the Bible is about to be enacted in reality. The Lord Jesus is going to die for sinners. It was established early that whatever way you might seek to come, whatever thing you might seek to bring, if it doesn't involve the death of a substitute, it will not be accepted. And here's the Lord Jesus, the Son of God himself. He's come into the world and he's going to die on a cross so that he can provide what we could not do. The scriptures say things like this: Christ died for the ungodly. It says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Preaching about it later, we hear this: neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So we're going to find an answer in the Lord Jesus. We're going to find something that he has done that no one else could have done, that can bridge the gulf, that can open the way, that can bring us into the presence of God. But I was thinking too about the Lord Jesus speaking of this kind of thing when he was amongst the people, telling them the truths of the gospel. And he's indicated this, that when you hear the gospel, when you listen to God's plan of salvation, it's as if there were two gates in front of you, a narrow gate and a wide gate. And the narrow gate leads to the narrow way, and the Lord Jesus says that leads to life. But the wide gate leads to the broad way, and the Lord Jesus says that leads to destruction. So here the Lord is putting two ways in front of us. Two ways. It means that this choice comes up. You know, if you hear the gospel, you hear about the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for you. You hear about the fact that you're a sinner in need of a savior. You hear all the demands of God in regard to sin, and you see them being met in the Lord Jesus. I wonder what your response is. You have to make a choice. You can either trust the Lord Jesus, enter the narrow gate, onto the narrow way that leads to life, or you can turn away. You can say, I have a way. I have a way that seems right to me. I have a way that I think would measure up to God. God surely could not refuse me if I take this particular way. It's so wrong, isn't it? We're so incapable of doing it because we're thinking from our end and we're not thinking of what God wants. You know, there were two walking along the road one day after the Lord Jesus died, and it says they were sad. And when asked about this, they said, we thought, and that's an interesting expression, we thought. Wouldn't it be sad to get into eternity and say, I thought, to find yourself lost and to say, I thought. You think of that rich man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment, and he pleaded with someone to go to tell his brothers so that they wouldn't come to this place. He never, ever expected to be there. He could have said, I thought. He was enjoying a great experience of life. He was enjoying the very best every day, but he'd missed the way. He'd missed it altogether. And that's the problem. We can think, we can decide, we can hope. All those things should come into our vocabulary. Yet if we don't find the way, then we will never be in God's heaven. It's as serious as that. But it's as simple as that. So let's come back to our passage and just think about what was said here. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's speaking to those who would trust in him. And he says, then I'm going to come and I'll take you to be with me. Now, that's very desirable, isn't it? To be with the Lord Jesus. Is that something in your heart? Going right back to the beginning of our message, would that be your destination? Would that be the thing that you're looking forward to, the thing that you're hoping for, the thing that would make you say, I want to find the way. I want to be sure I'm on the right way, the way to heaven. Well, the Lord Jesus said, where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. An interesting statement that. He's already told them where he's going, to the Father's house. He says, you know where I'm going and you know the way. The thing was that they didn't know that they knew the way. They knew the Lord Jesus, but they didn't know he was the way. They weren't aware of what he was implying. The where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. So let's put those two things to each one of us here today. Do you know where the Lord Jesus is today? He rose from the dead. He ascended up on high. He's seated at the right hand of God, looking for the moment when he will come again and take to be with him all those who trust him. That's where he is. Do you know the way to be there? And these disciples simply said, we don't know where you're going, And how can we know the way? And that, of course, is a very sensible statement. If you don't know where you're going, you'll never be able to find the way. But the Lord Jesus comes back and makes this somewhat cryptic statement, I suppose you'd say. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Let's think about that for a moment. The Lord Jesus didn't say, I'll show you the way. He didn't say, if you follow my steps, that is the way. A lot of things the Lord could have said at that point here. He didn't explain away. You think back to those two brothers, and they needed some understanding of the way and they had it all wrong. The Lord Jesus didn't say, I can point out the way, I can show you it. He says, I am the way. I am the way. What an amazing statement that is. In other words, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, if you have trusted him as your Savior, then he is the way to heaven. There is no doubt of your arrival there. There's no doubt of your acceptance with God. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who embrace Christ as Savior, they're on the way that is to heaven. Faith brings you into the enjoyment of that, into the knowledge of that, of being on the way to heaven. And so he says to them, another thing that often happens when you're reading through John here, I am the way. And you might say, well, that's all we need to know, isn't it? He is the way. But he says to them, no man, no one comes to the Father but by me. And so now he's speaking of the uniqueness of that way. I am the way and there's no other way. Now, as we've said before, looking back to your GPS or whatever, you'll get a blue way that's probably the suggested one, and a grey one, which is another possibility. Nothing like that in coming to God. There is only one way, and that way is the Lord Jesus himself. And so if you think of another possibility, then what is it going to be? It's going to be like Proverbs says, the way seems right to men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So let's just for a moment consider what the Lord Jesus did so that he could be the way to heaven. I want you to feel very personal about it all, because he's doing something for you. He's doing something for me. He's doing something so that when we rest our all upon him, we're absolutely sure of eternal safety. You know, he says another place in John here, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. They're such positive statements. They're statements of certainty. They're statements that have no ifs and buts and possibilities. They're absolutely sure. I am the way. And if you come this way, that will lead you to the Father. But no one comes to the Father but by me. Absolutely the way. So how did he solve all those initial problems? The problems from Genesis early on, when sin came into the world and severed the relationship between God and men and made the way closed, really, closed entirely. That's what the two brothers are trying to find out. How do we find a way? Well, what has the Lord Jesus done? Well, as we said, he came to this world absolutely pure and holy, the holy, sinless Son of God. He moved through this world, and with all the attempts of the devil and all else, none could turn him aside from the plan that had been made in eternity. None could turn him aside from his wholehearted trust in and communion with his God. He was absolutely perfect and pure. No sin in him. The devil couldn't find anything there. There was nothing there because he didn't have that sinful nature, that nature that we have that gives us that propensity to sin. So he's moved through life in that most amazing way. He has demonstrated who he is by the miracles that he did, the things that he said and did, absolutely outstanding. You just read through the Gospels and thrill at the power of the Lord Jesus. The people wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. They said they couldn't understand. He speaks with power and authority. Amazing. Who is this person? Who is this person who has come into the world to present God to men and to do this work that God has given him to do? He said himself, don't you understand, I must be about my Father's business? He said to his disciples on one occasion, when they brought him food, he said, I've got food to eat that you don't know about. My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so the Lord Jesus went through his life here, and ultimately he came into the Garden of Gethsemane. And why is he there? He's there because Judas is going to come there to betray him. He knew it would be so, but he still went there because he was determined to do this great work. Finally, he was taken to the cross. I often think about Pilate saying to him, I have power to crucify you. I have power to release you. And the Lord said, you have no power at all against me. What was happening was the plan of God. What was happening, it was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The wickedness of men was known, understood by God, but the plan would be carried out exactly as God determined. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross, and there he suffered on that cross. We don't know all that he suffered. Of course, there was the physical pain and suffering, but there was also the fact that he was able to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In those 3 hours of darkness, what they entail, we do not know. All we know is this. At the end of it all, he said, it is finished. What is finished? The way has been made open and available to mankind. The Lord Jesus has died upon that cross. He has risen again from the dead. He's now in heaven, and the Bible says he's a prince and a savior. I like that expression, a prince and a savior, with all the things that men did against him. He did the work that he'd been given to do. He rose triumphant from the dead. And now we can look back to his words spoken on the way to the cross. I am the way. I am the way. You can try what you like. You can plan what you like. You can devise what you like. And it may seem all good to you, but let me tell you with absolute certainty, I am the way. How do you get on that way? It's just trusting Christ. It's just coming to him. Says, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. He's the way. He's going to bring you to the Father's house. He guarantees it. He says about those who belong to him, they're my sheep and they hear my voice. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. What a thing to be on the way, the only way, the certain way, the way obtained by the Lord Jesus at great cost to himself. And he's offering you now the possibility of stepping onto that way and being ultimately in heaven with himself. We trust that our consideration of these verses and statements from the scriptures will just make plain to any who don't yet know, if you want to find the way to God, if you want to be right with God, if you want to ultimately be in God's heaven, you'll have to come God's way. There's just not another possibility. And to come God's way, you will need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God's way. He's the way to heaven. He's the way of salvation. He's the way of deliverance, whatever you like to say. Otherwise, what are the other ways? The way that seems right unto man, the end thereof, are the ways of death. How sad when the Lord Jesus has done all that work to provide the way to heaven. If you should miss the way, go in that broad gate along with many, many others and hurry down the path that leads only to destruction. We would urge upon any who are not saved to turn to Christ. Trust in him. He is all that the scriptures present him to be, the Holy Son of God, and he can save you right here and now at this moment. If in recognition of your sin, in understanding of your need before God, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. We trust that it might be so, and we'll just ask the Lord's blessing.